Welcome to Transition, Gadget 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. Today's episode is going to be focused on one topic, that is Call of Duty Black Ops 4 on the Nintendo Switch. And we'll talk about a bunch of things in this which you will listen to as the podcast goes along. So there's a lot of surprises in there for you. And apart from that, we'll be speaking about the games we've been playing this week. So first up, Rishi Alwani, our games editor, is here.
Yeah, and can you believe that Toad's head is actually a head and not a cap of mushrooms?
Mike, can you believe that?
What?
Yeah, the Super Mario Odyssey.
This changes everything. We need to change all our review scores now. It's not a 10 anymore.
What does this mean for the lore?
Yeah,
and that's Mikhail Madnani, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So,
are you though?
Sort of,
okay.
I guess.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I always wonder whether I really exist every morning. Cool. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Nintendo Switch. I never thought I'd be hearing the names of these two things in the same sentence ever.
So perhaps we should start from the beginning. What essentially went down was Marcus Sellers, a well-known industry insider and writer slash editor of a site called MikeTendo64. MikeTendo64, yes.
Cool.
Ended up posting a tweet that said, and I quote, COD 2018 is Black Ops 4 and is coming to PS4 / Xbox / PC / Switch. It is set in the modern times and is boots on the ground. The Switch version will support DLC, HD Rumble and motion controls. The Switch version is also being ported by a company that is familiar with COD games. So that's interesting for a bunch of reasons. Simply because the last Call of Duty game to come to a Nintendo platform was Call of Duty Ghosts in 2013. And that was a game that released as a launch title for the PS4, Xbox One. And it was one of the last titles on the PS3 and Xbox 360. So it was end of generation kind of title. And that came to the Wii U. So the fact that we're seeing murmurs and rumblings of a Call of Duty game coming to the Switch is a big deal. It means that at the end of the day, Activision probably realized that, there is an audience that actually wants to play a shooter. They must have seen how Doom did and must have thought, okay, this is worth bothering with. The second thing which is of interest here is that Sellers actually has a decent track record. He stated that Dark Souls and Nintendo Labo were coming. So yeah, I mean, there is reason to believe that this could happen. And at the same time, I mean, it's a known thing that Call of Duty is helmed by three studios. Sledgehammer Games, Infinity Ward, and Treyarch. Now, Sledgehammer Games just released Call of Duty World War II. Last year, 2017. 2016 saw Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, which is by Infinity Ward. And the last Call of Duty game from Treyarch was in 2015, which is Black Ops 3. So it's pretty much nails the fact that, yes, we're going to see Black Ops 4 this year because Treyarch is working on something and it's going to release this year. If we go by what the cycle usually is, it helps matters that Infinity Ward's own employees at least seem to have gone on record saying that we're not making a game this year. It's going to be Treyarch. So all of this then brings the fact that, yes, we could see Black Ops 4 out this year. The fact that they're saying that it's boots on the ground probably adheres to the fact that we're not going to see any fancy moves or maneuvers or, special abilities that were there in Black Ops 3, where it'll be a more grounded take on what to expect. And at the same time, it's interesting because Black Ops 3 till this day is one of the most popular Call of Duty games. In fact, the series as a whole, the Black Ops series as a whole is still quite popular to the point where I think right now over 100,000 people are still playing Black Ops 1 multiplayer on the Xbox 360.
So Black Ops 3 has been interesting for a lot of reasons. I haven't really paid much attention to at least the Black Ops part of Call of Duty for a while. I mean, I only did because I picked up a Japanese copy of Black Ops 3 as a joke to stream and all. But I've been looking at how people online who play Call of Duty have been like responding to the newer games. Infinite Warfare, basically, aside from the campaign, has been a failure online. They even switched to P2P for that. That does not work out well for Call of Duty. But Black Ops 3, especially on PC, I think Black Ops is the only Call of Duty on PC that actually maintains an audience. And the Treyarch has been really good with PC support and optimization in general. In fact, Call of Duty Black Ops 3 got a complete new retail release with Zombie Chronicles last year on Xbox and PS4, which is, 3 years after it originally released. And for a franchise that's quote-unquote yearly, this kind of stuff is unheard of.
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing, right? Like, it's fresh. It's still kept fresh because of new DLC. It's still popular. And then bringing it to the Switch seems like an interesting move. But it also means that at the end of the day, could it be that Activision actually has faith in Nintendo's online infrastructure?
Like, considering I had a few moments of rage last night because Splatoon 2, which is also P2P, by the way, and has probably one of the worst online setups, which for what's what likely Nintendo's most popular online game right now, Nintendo's most popular new IP, and the online doesn't even work as well as a port of a Wii U game, which is Mario Kart 8. And yeah, thanks to disconnects, they ban you for 5 minutes.
Yikes.
And so Nintendo's paid online service is supposed to launch in September. It'll be $20 a year. They haven't detailed what stuff you actually get outside of, you know, paying to play online. We don't even know how it's going to work for regions outside the places where Nintendo officially operates. There's a chance they might IP lock it. They do it for their apps, even though you can sideload and play. So there is precedent for it to some extent. But yeah, a lot of, I mean, there's this game called Phantom Breaker Battlegrounds, which released originally on Xbox Live Arcade. It was ported to Vita, PS4, and PC. The developers actually released it on Switch, complete with all the DLC, and said they would only patch in online once the online service goes live fully. So, yeah, I guess some developers are waiting to see what happens when it goes live.
Because the other thing also to keep in mind, one part is, yes, the Switch has an online service problem, which would make Black Ops 4 an amusing situation. But the second thing is, Nintendo has said, and this is a report from the Wall Street Journal, that 64 gigabyte cards won't be possible till 2019. However, that news was made public before murmurs of iPhone 10 production being slowed down. And as we all know, Nintendo is already competing with Apple for production pipeline for resources. So who knows, we might see this being fast-tracked. And if that's not the case, and if you're the fact who, and if you're the sort of person rather who wants to play Black Ops 4 on the Switch, there's a good chance you might need a larger than expected memory card to get your game on.
Yeah, because Infinite Warfare Legacy Edition, on the box it says it required 150 GB, right?
Yeah.
And that was Call of Duty from 2 years ago. Game sizes are just ballooning up. Even like games which are traditionally smaller in size, like around 20 or below, like Dynasty Warriors, the latest entry is 47 GB, going by some installation size pictures people have been posting online. So I don't expect the new Call of Duty to be under 50 GB. Under any circumstance, to be honest, and they'd have to do a lot of compression and a lot of basically like using low-res assets and stuff to get it on the Switch. And despite them even trying to do all of this, there has been only one developer who's used the 32 GB game card on the Nintendo Switch, and that's Square Enix for the terrible port of Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2, which was Japan exclusive. In fact, if you're not familiar with Dragon Quest Heroes, you should read Pranay's review for Dragon Quest Heroes 2, which came out early last year.
Link
it's
in
really
the show
fun.
Notes. Link in the show notes.
It's really fun. And but yeah, the Switch version was handled really poorly, and that's the only game that used the 32 GB card, and it's also the most expensive game on the Switch at between $80 and $90 minimum, when games usually in Japan at least go from 70 to 80. So yeah, I'm not really sure it's going to make that much of a difference, even if the 64 GB cards were available, because LA Noire, which was like real, it's been really fun to play that, but you still need to download 14 GB. WWE 2K went even cheaper with that, because you need to download about 24 GB to play WWE on the Switch. So even if Call of Duty does come, there's no there's already a precedent that like AAA publishers are just gonna dump everything into an 8 GB or 16 GB card and make you download the rest. And it'll be another one of those SD card required games, because if you need more than 20 GB to download from your game card, it's not gonna really fit on the Nintendo Switch internal memory. So
yeah, and in addition to this, if you even look at the fact that, I mean, what's amusing is that usually if a publisher wants to take a huge bet like this by putting one of their biggest IPs on a new console or platform, they usually start with bringing a remaster in or a re-release. And I mean, considering that GameCube emulation has been in the works, or rather is supported by the Switch, it's just a question of Nintendo, for the pun unintended, to flip the Switch. Who knows, we might even see Call of Duty Finest Hour make its way to the Switch via, you know, emulation or backwards compatibility.
Yeah, let's see how, if that actually happens. I would seriously be surprised.
Because, I mean, it's the first Call of Duty game ever, at least on console. So it'll be a nice throwback. But then, I mean, the Call of Duty franchise itself has been no stranger to multiple platforms. We've seen it hit everything from the Nintendo DS, the N-Gage, and even Java phones. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see that the same kind of tradition continues with more legitimate devices like the Switch. But, yeah, so Mike, what do you want to see with Black Ops 4 on Switch?
a good campaign, basically, because I'm not going to trust the multiplayer, to be honest, after seeing what's happened over the last, like, not World War II, because I haven't played that yet, but yeah, not expecting much considering how Infinite Warfare and what is the thing before that, Advanced Warfare multiplayer were in general, and like Black Ops 3, I'm not sure if it uses P2P or dedicated servers. I believe it uses dedicated last I read, but I don't think that's going to happen on Switch, so... I mean, like, if you can tell how much commitment there is to multiplayer shooters on Switch because everyone's just playing Splatoon. Even Doom, you needed to download an update just to get the multiplayer, and I doubt many people did that. You can just play the main game on its own, like the campaign. So let's see what they do, but I honestly don't expect it to be the same version that, like, say, like on par, at least feature-wise, with the other two. I think Activision will probably start... they'll do like different versions of Call of Duty for the Switch if they do see that kind of commitment when it comes to sales. There are rumors of like them putting that Crash Bandicoot trilogy on Switch as well. That's something I can see that'll actually sell and run well on Switch. Call of Duty, I don't know. And especially with motion controls and all, like this kind of feels like too much of a commitment for a studio that would likely test waters first with, you know, like a bare bones port just to see whether the Call of Duty name has like holds anything on the Switch.
Of late, obviously, I haven't played any recent Call of Duty except for that really cheap one, the Call of Duty Ghosts one, yeah, which was going for like 79 and 99 rupees on Amazon.
It still is. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like the cheapest big name game available in India right now.
Yeah, so I played that on the PS3 for a bit, but once again, same problem, like motion sickness, can't handle it. So yeah.
Like, if you want real sickness while playing a Call of Duty game, you should look at Black Ops Declassified on the Vita, because that was one of the worst looking games I've ever played. And I've played quite a few of those terrible random ports which come out on the Vita from either Japanese franchises or like in general. But yeah, Black Ops Declassified, I think they literally took a snapshot of puke somewhere and used that as the wall textures because it looks that bad.
Yeah, and surprisingly, I think it's probably one of the Vita games that have sold really well.
Yeah, again, because Call of Duty's name, which they probably would be testing out the waters on Switch with that, and the Black Ops brand as such has some presence on Nintendo platforms. Like Black Ops was on DS, they put one of them on, the Wii also, I believe.
Yeah, so the Wii even got Modern Warfare, also known as COD4. So it got that as well. And there is precedent for them for Activision to support multiple platforms if they've been deemed popular enough. Surprisingly, we haven't seen a Call of Duty game on the 3DS.
Yeah, the 3DS, I think it was in a very interesting position because when it launched, it basically flopped compared to the DS until Nintendo did a price drop. Even though it had like a pretty strong like day one lineup, much more than the Switch had. The Switch just had this small game that's called Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. But the 3DS had a very difficult opening. And then it picked up steam and like it actually is now like super popular. I think it's 3DS and PS4 numbers are almost the same. Software on the 3DS continues to be released. But Switch is basically outpacing everything. So even if Activision like doesn't do a good effort on the port, I still think like it's a given that we're going to get Call of Duty on the Switch.
Yeah, because here's one thing, though, which listeners should keep in mind, is that one of the core tenets of the mainline Call of Duty games is the fact that it's able to run at 60 frames per second. And that's been one of its biggest differentiators over the years. They've never compromised on that. In fact, to the point where, and this is because the guys who were at Infinity Ward moved on to start their own studio called Respawn Entertainment. And in a previous interview with, I think, IGN, they mentioned that frame rate was super important to them, more so than the visuals. So it'll be interesting to see what trade-offs are done for the Switch version of Black Ops 4, assuming it does come out. Wherein, in terms of maintaining that 60 frames per second in both docked and handheld mode, because that's something that is core to the franchise. I mean, there are two things you can usually expect with a Call of Duty game. One is some crazy multiplayer hijinks, and two, you're going to get 60 frames per second. So how they manage to maintain that, or if there's going to be some form of trade-off, will be interesting to see. More so when we have other shooters coming to the Switch this year, like Wolfenstein 2. And we've already had Doom that came out as well. And there were some trade-offs and compromises on both, if I'm not mistaken.
So Doom was a very interesting thing because the port wasn't actually handled by id Software. When Doom was originally announced for the Switch, I thought, okay, id is going to make it run at 60 because they are like tech wizards and stuff. But they actually outsourced the port to Panic Button, who... at least with Rocket League, the performance docked and visuals docked was not like what anyone was expecting. It was pretty low, and they are working on fixing that. In fact, Psyonix announced a roadmap for Switch support where they're going to increase the resolution, also allow for different frame rates so you can get better visuals or better frame rates with lower visuals. Doom hasn't seen much support like post-launch in terms of patches and all since then, which leads me to believe it might not have sold as well as everyone expected. Skyrim, on the other hand, is another thing. You can read like thoughts on Skyrim on Switch on Gadgets 360 as well. That was really good. So if Call of Duty is being handled, and if the rumor or the quote-unquote leak is true, and it's being handled by a studio familiar with Call of Duty, I think it'll be a good port. But, you know, they might actually, they need to compensate for the lack of last gen somewhere, right? PS3, 360 have been cut off as of, what is the last game? World War II. Even yeah. Infinite Warfare was just on current gen.
Yeah.
But before that, Black Ops 3 had a version for last gen.
Yeah.
Because there's still an audience over there. So maybe they'll use the Switch version to make up for those sales. Because traditionally, Call of Duty sells maximum on consoles anyway. The PC version, I think, is just there for the investors, because Call of Duty rarely sells really well on PC. It's like a small number compared to like the millions which it does on console. So maybe they'd use the Switch to make up for the last gen, and to like, you know, Switch and PC will make up for the third when you look at the sales graph. I mean, we already know Ubisoft makes the most money on PS4, followed by Xbox One, and then PC is like, again, like a small margin of that. So it could be something like that, but I don't see them ignoring the Switch install base regardless of what like they put out. There's no way they're going to let this go. It's Activision after all. So
what would be cool to see is that if they do Black Ops or the Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking right now. You read my mind.
Yeah, so I think that would be really cool to see.
Yeah. And I can guarantee you, whatever happens, Black Ops 4 on handheld with Battle Royale mode on Switch without any patches will still look better than PUBG on Xbox One. So
this such hate.
Yeah. After like downloading multiple like 5.5 GB patches and like seeing almost no improvements on the 1S, yeah, I'm done with PUBG. So
1S, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. Mm. But then, so that's the thing. I mean, it'll be fun to see what goes down here, because the other thing, as Pranay said, right? I mean, if you end up having a battle royale mode, and how would that even work out with the Switch infrastructure? That's going to be an interesting unknown. And considering that the Switch online service is launching in September. And, you know, we usually have Call of Duty games out end October, beginning November. It'll be interesting to see how that all comes together. I mean, personally, I would like to see local co-op being a thing on this. Because it'd be
yeah,
nice
local
to...
campaign co-op would be really good. Or like, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. even when they add the zombies multiplayer, yeah. horde mode, whatever. That would be good. And a good point, though, because a lot of games that are online only on other platforms get a local mode on Switch. NBA 2K18 has local wireless. WWE also, I believe, has local wireless. Rocket League has exclusive local wireless mode on the Switch. So, yeah, that's something which they could definitely do to make it stand out.
I think that, and I mean, while they're talking about how motion controls could be a part of it, I would like the option to remove that completely, because, frankly, not a fan of that implementation in Splatoon, not a fan of that implementation in other games as
in
well.
Any game, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate the motion controls.
I can't deal with them in first-person games. Like, I know a lot of quote-unquote Splatoon pros and all, they swear by the motion controls, but the only game where I actually used motion controls on the Switch was... Breath of the Wild while aiming the bow and arrow. That's like the only place where it actually made sense, because you could tweak it and it worked out well. But like in Splatoon, I just cannot deal with that. So
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. And the other thing which would be cool to see would be perhaps some form of co-op where it's more inclusive. Because it'd be really cool to play Black Ops, to go through the Black Ops 4 campaign with Pranay as drone backup or a massive robot backup. You know, allowing a second person to play from a different perspective rather than having a first person mode, because that would be really cool.
But it's not going to happen.
You can never tell.
No, it's never going to happen.
This is the Black Ops series. Weird, cool things happened.
Yeah.
They went full Matrix on the last one. So, yeah. With zombies, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of zombies. So, there's a really cool thing with Black Ops 3 was that if you finish the campaign the first time, you could run through it the second time. But all the enemies turn out to be zombies. And the way the game was structured was that you can go through any episode at any time and it would still make some sense. So it'd be fun to see if they end up having the same story tropes going forward with that. But, I mean, so then Black Ops 4 aside, I mean, considering we've seen other shooters on the Switch, this could actually open the doors for other competitive shooters on the Switch, like Overwatch.
Overwatch, I think, is more dependent on whether they can get it to run at a decent frame rate on the Switch, because Overwatch, uses variable resolution on both Xbox One and PS4. In fact, they on the PS4 Pro, they didn't even do a proper patch. They just made the UI run at native 4K or higher resolution than 1080. On the Xbox One X, on the other hand, they did a much better job with that. But on the base consoles, which are still stronger than the Switch, it uses variable resolution. So like if you do it on Switch, I'd expect it to be maximum 720 variable with 60 FPS with visuals toned down a bit. And on handheld, it probably won't be more than 540p, given what we know about the performance and seeing how some of these other ports are. But Overwatch, on the other hand, is going to be a big strain on their online. And I don't know how that's going to work, because Rocket League is a big game which manages getting patches out on multiple platforms. Let's see if Blizzard can do something.
Yeah, well, about online. So this is actually an actual quote we have from Blizzard's own tech leads on Overwatch. This is what Tim Ford told us last year. We'll have this interview linked in the show notes, where he says that there are no plans to bring Overwatch to the Switch, though netcode wouldn't be a problem there. So who knows? Maybe I have a feeling, perhaps from Blizzard's standpoint, the fact that, you know, right now for any form of voice chat on a Nintendo console, you probably need a smartphone and some headsets and a lot of luck to get things working. So
and the app is not even available in India.
Exactly. I mean, I think for us to get the app running, even for to play to Splatoon, required us to log into a US account or to sideload the app on Android.
Mm.
So it's not exactly user-friendly in any capacity.
Yeah, that's true. So is there anything else you guys want to say about Call of Duty Black Ops 4 on the Nintendo Switch?
I hope it gets a nice Steelbook edition.
I mean, Steelbook edition.
Good
and
joke.
And definitely looking forward to it, particularly because it's a more modern, it seems to be a more modern approach if this pans out.
Also,
yeah.
It's a modern approach to warfare, if you may.
Oh, well played. This is why you respawn in Infinity Ward.
Okay, so, then. Cool. So, yeah. I think we can move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the games we've been playing this week, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think I'll go first.
Go for
you
it.
Guys have spoken enough for
yes.
this episode. Yeah. So, I played more of Yakuza 0, although this the previous weekend was not a long weekend, so I could not make as much progress. But now, as I mentioned in the last episode, I've put the main quest on a bit of a pause. So, without giving a spoiler, I can say that there are two characters in the game, Kiryu Kazuma, and Goro Majima. So Majima is in Osaka in the game at the start of the game, and Kiryu is in Tokyo in Kamurocho. So I've reached the point in the story where Kiryu is about to go to Osaka. And now I've taken a pause before I head on that next mission. And what I'm doing now is I'm playing like some other mini games in there and setting up my business and all of that. So I'm doing random things like trying to learn how to fish so that I can get the 10th property in an area and like at least complete one chapter and like take on one of the bosses in the business section. And in the mini games, there is a stupid cat fight game, which I don't really like much, but I'm only playing that because you can make your 10 million yen into 1 billion yen if you manage to win it. So the manual save, which I really criticized at the beginning, now I'm really beginning to appreciate it.
Oh, someone's learned the advantages to saves coming.
Yeah.
Something which a lot of people who played Final Fantasy did a ton of in Final Fantasy X.
And XCOM. Never forget XCOM. So, yeah.
Well, after XCOM 2, I want to forget that.
More like XCOM U, am I right?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of saves coming, as Mike puts it, to try and win that catfight game, because it's basically gambling, and it's not like, you know, there's too much element of skill involved in that. It's mostly luck, because it's a rock, paper, scissors mini game. So yeah, whatever. And I'm also in the meantime finding all these side quests and finishing them one by one, including How to Train Your Dominatrix. So what I'm doing is, one by one, I'm going and befriending these characters who will approach, who will add to the business. What happens is, once you finish these side quests, then you can actually, like, add these characters as managers in your business. And that, like, sort of improves your, improves the chances of you making more profits, etc. So now I'm trying to make money in Yakuza 0 because I can't make any in real life. And also, I've been playing this game called Cat Quest, which
finally
Mike may have heard of. So yeah, in that game, It's a, basically, how do you say, it's an open world action RPG.
It's an open world cat venture.
Yeah, cat venture. So cat adventure game mostly, yeah. Not really an action RPG. But yeah, there are role-playing elements to it. You can upgrade your skills and all that. Yeah, but by and large, like, it's very well done on the iPhone. I haven't played it on the iPad yet, but very, very well optimized for the iPhone screen, even the tiny iPhone screen. So you play as a cat, and the game is full of these puns, you know, where, like, a city, like, the capital of the, like, entire land, which is ruled by cats now, is called Catpital instead of just capital. And, you know, you'll see a lot of puns around, like, just cat terminology, like purring and pawing and whatnot. So in this game, basically, the dragons are the enemy, and you play as a dragon blood, like a character who can actually take on dragons. And what you do is you start around, and then you, like, first meet one of the dragons, then you meet a monstrous dragon, and you basically level up in the meantime by doing side quests and take them down. So you keep roaming around the world. It's a very nicely designed world also. Basically, how would you say it? Is it isometric or is it close to top-down view?
It's close to top-down view.
Yeah, so you basically just, like, move your cat around here and there, and then there are a bunch of, like, fun side quests to do in the game. Basically, go here, fetch this, go there, fetch that, and, you know, bring it back to these suffering cats who can't go out because there are monsters roaming around in the wild, and the entire world is quite dangerous. So the fun thing about this game is, unlike some RPGs, no area is locked really as such, except for some which are across the water, which will only be unlocked after you unlock the, like, walking on water ability.
Yeah.
So most, like, as long as, you know, you can traverse anywhere by land, you can just walk through the entire world and reach even the more advanced areas in the game. But, you know, there again, there's a danger that over there are such strong monsters that in one hit they can kill you. So you need to be careful. But you can go and explore the entire world if you want to. So yeah, been playing that only. I've reached leveled up my cat to some level 27 or 28, and just, you know, doing more side quests and trying to progress in the main story. The main story is only, like, doesn't, like, let you progress too much until you level up. So to level up, you have to do the side quests. So it doesn't feel like a grind as such, but then you have to, like, spend a lot of time doing side quests before you can take on the main dragons and progress the main story. So that way they've balanced it out, you know. You actually feel like doing the side quests because they have a purpose, and, you know, not like games like Yakuza 0 where the main story is almost completely independent of the side quests. So yeah, just these two games for this week. I think it's more than what I play most of the time. Yeah, Mike.
Okay, so SteamWorld Dig 1, the original SteamWorld Dig, which came out in 2013 on 3DS and got ported basically everywhere, released on the Switch. So I've been playing that, and I actually finished it again. The port is really good. SteamWorld Dig is still worth playing even after SteamWorld Dig 2. Although both of them aren't as great as SteamWorld Heist, which is like the nice tactical 2D whatever game.
Yeah, I love that.
But SteamWorld Dig 1, really good. The port is really nice. They added touch controls for the interface and all, which is always appreciated on the Switch. And yeah, it's just a really fun Metroid Digvania game, whatever. You should give it a shot. It's available everywhere, basically. Other than that,
except iOS.
Yeah, SteamWorld, the Dig games aren't on iOS. The Heist is with the DLC.
Yeah,
that's
understandable, right? Because Dig, I understand, is more real time, and Heist is like tactical. So
yeah,
turn-based
stuff works well on iOS.
Yeah, so you have to pick up and play, right? So that's why Cat Quest works really well on iOS, because what they do is, like, they allow you a very generous save system. So,
and also they let you, the interface on touch is very nice, where you can, like, pause to do your spells with gestures, and also it's very well thought out. But yeah, so SteamWorld Dig 1, finished it again. It took me about 4 hours, which is a little longer than what it did on 3DS. Because since I played SteamWorld Dig 2, I tried doing some of that stuff, and I ended up finding some secret areas, which I didn't find the first time when I played SteamWorld Dig. So that was good. On the 3DS, I've been playing Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology, which is a quote-unquote remake of the DS classic from Atlus. And if you haven't played that on DS, like, definitely get the 3DS version. Although if you did play it on the DS, the 3DS version is pretty lazy in comparison to Atlus's other 3DS remakes or ports. It's a very good turn-based RPG, fantasy, time travel setting and stuff. Very grounded, very different from the normal JRPGs which are available today. And it has Yoko Shimomura's best soundtrack since Kingdom Hearts. So, yeah.
Interesting. Who is Yoko Shimomura?
A composer.
Exactly. So yeah, in my case, I have been playing more of Monster Hunter World on the Xbox One. That's surprisingly good, holds up quite well, especially like, you know, since you're up against more fire-breathing, flying monsters and such. So
confess, you got the steelbook.
That too. So yeah, it's pretty good, been playing that. What's interesting is the fact that, I mean, almost every big enemy is some form of Wyvern or another. They should just call it Dragon Hunter World at the end of it, or Wyvern Hunter World. So yeah, that. Been playing that. And been going back in a Diablo 3 on the Xbox One X as well, particularly playing as a Necromancer, and simply because it's so much fun where you can explode every corpse and cause a chain reaction and get like 100 kills in a press of a button if it's timed well. So been playing a lot of that as well. And it's interesting because with the Necromancer, they actually put some effort to integrate its lore into the core story, because the Necromancer wasn't a character class you could play as when the game first released or when the game got its first expansion. In fact, it was just brought into the game late last year for $15, which I find ridiculously stupid expensive. But it ended up being free if you picked up the game on sale. So yeah, got lucky with that. Essentially been playing those two.
Yeah. Okay then, so I guess that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. The music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPB is where the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening.